Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come here live from Fiji Islands. Yes, I am. I'm here for the Pacific Urban Forum, the 6th Pacific Urban Forum. And it's about looking after South Pacific, looking after all the islands as well as the Torres Straits. And, of course, the big island, Australia, in regard to the world that we live in, global warming is real. And, great to be at the conference. I'm here to catch up now with Dr. Jane Stanley, EROF Committee. That's a fantastic organisation and representing Australia. A very good morning. Dr. Jane, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks, Trevor.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So who's Dr. Jane Stanley? Where do you stem from?
Oh, I was born in the UK and I came out to Australia to study at Sydney University, and then I went to live in West Africa for a while. Mm-hmm. Then I went back to Scotland for a while and then came back to Australia, and I've been here since 1980 now.
So. Okay, 1980. So you're local. We claim you as a sister.
Oh, that would be very nice. Thank you.
So, Dr. Jane, here we are at the 6th Pacific Urban Forum. Now, we met at the forum in Cairns, yes. EROF Forum. Can you give us a background in EROF and the wording behind EROF, please?
Okay, so EROF, it stands for the Eastern Regional Organization for Planning and Human Settlements. Mm. It's a UN-registered body, and it has chapters in different countries in the Asia-Pacific. Because we're UN-registered, it links us into the global world in terms of what's going on. And the Australian chapter is a small group, about 30 people from different professional groups, different disciplines, people in the community, government servants. In some other chapters, they have ministers and, sure. and agencies. I've just got a university signed up to EROF Australia.
Good.
So it's a collection of interested individuals in the different countries, and then we work together as a region.
Okay.
We've got different activities as well as different committees dealing with particular issues, one on climate action.
Okay, fantastic. And climate action. So here we are, and it's about protecting all peoples, all humans living in this area. As I said, global climate is real, and if we don't act, we could lose a lot of islands, a lot of lives, and inhabitants as it stands, yes?
Yes, well, I'm working in Kiribati at the moment, which is one of the most threatened communities, and I guess some of the Torres Strait Islands would be in a similar situation. Mm. So maximum elevation is 3 metres, but most land is less than 2 metres above sea, yes. And the king tides are already washing across about a third of the land in South Tarawa. They can no longer grow vegetables because there's too much salt in the soil.
Yes.
And you've got a population of about 60,000 people in one of the most densely populated sets of islands anywhere in the world. And food security is just critical. So we've got some funding from the German government there to do some things about food security, processing wastes, and generally trying to give people as much security as we can for the short to medium term. But the projections by the end of the century is there'll be a whole lot of climate migration.
Yes.
And there's already climate refugees from Kiribati in Solomon Islands, where I was last week. So it's already happening within the Pacific.
It's already happening. So here we are getting excited for the NRL Grand Final, AFL Grand Final. But that's pittance when we're talking about human life and about existence.
Yeah, well, actually, we're showing a video at the end of this forum, or the end of tomorrow's session that you're chairing, which is by a Fijian group. They're like the Bangara group. They're just
Bangara dancers.
Like the Fijian equivalent.
Yes.
And they actually say, you know, forget about your smartphones and your AFLs and stuff. This is real, folks. You've got to do something about it.
Beautiful.
It's a really powerful video. And they performed at one of the COP organisations on climate action. So okay. Very, very strong. You'll like it.
So academic you are, but passionate about human life.
Well, I hope I'm not an academic. I don't like to be classified as an academic. I've been accredited as a professor at two different universities, okay. But I'd much rather be classified as a practitioner. So I work with communities to get things done. I'm not interested in the academic side, except where the research is useful in getting things done.
But if it gets you over the line or gets the door open, then you'll use that space, won't you?
And I do a bit of teaching on the side where it's useful as well.
Sure.
But I really want to get things happening on the ground.
So if we're talking about global climate, we're talking about first world countries need to act and act fast. Is that right?
Yes.
They're behind the eight ball?
Yes. So one of the interesting things at the last COP was that they were persuaded, and the Pacific Islanders did a lot of the persuading, to set up a fund for loss and damages. Mm-hmm. So we've still got to work out how that's going to operate, and there's a real danger that it will be so bureaucratic and complicated nobody will ever be able to get any money out of it.
Yes.
But we've got a session at this at the Pacific Urban Forum specifically looking at loss and damages and how you could get a workable solution for the Pacific, particularly with our immediate neighbours, Australia and New Zealand,
and
of course America, the other side of the Pacific. And we've got Hawaiian people here too.
At the table, we have United Nations, yes?
Yes, so EROF is a member of what we've called the Pacific Urban Forum, and we've got two UN agencies in that, UN Habitat and UNSCAP. So UN Habitat deals particularly with housing, UNSCAP more with economic development.
Yes.
So they're our champions. We've got the Commonwealth Local Government Forum, Pacific Office. We've got ICLEA, which is Sustainable Local Government, their Pacific Office. A housing NGO, and then a couple of universities working in partnership to try and support Pacific countries with what they want to do. So it's got to be led by the countries themselves.
It's got to be led by the countries. So we need to get it together, don't we, Dr. Jane?
Absolutely. There's no time for dilly-dallying. And I must say I'm very frustrated that a lot of the platforms set up to try and encourage climate action, all they do is wring their hands. I mean, I was invited onto a WhatsApp group on climate action, and day after day you've got pictures of burning forests and, you know, people saying how terrible it is. It actually reminds me of when I used to, and you can edit this out if you like, but it reminds me of when I worked with Aboriginal communities, and I've worked with Aboriginal communities for about 10 years. Very intensively.
Well, you mentioned Bungara, so I knew you were connected.
I've worked with remote communities a lot.
Yeah.
And people told me that they really liked me working for them because I wasn't a bleeding heart white.
Yeah.
And you've got all these bleeding heart climate activists who aren't doing anything. Their hearts are bleeding. Yeah, okay, but that doesn't actually lead us anywhere. We actually need more, a bit more than bleeding hearts, please.
Sure. Cover the womb and then activate that same process with the other fellow human beings, yes?
Yeah, we've got to be brothers and sisters in this.
We do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dr. Jane, where do we go from the Sixth Pacific Urban Forum? What happens after this? The conversations are happening here, very important conversations.
Yeah, I'm hoping, and we have yet to prove this, but I'm hoping we can get some really clear resolutions that are clear about who's got to do what and when, that we can take to the Asia-Pacific Urban Forum in Korea. I'm hoping you can come to that, Trevor.
Thank you.
And then to COP, which is in November. The Asia-Pacific Urban Forum is October. COP is in November. And then there'll be a World Urban Forum next year where we can take it globally. So we've obviously got the Yidinji Declaration, Climate Justice Charter that we developed in Cairns. We're bringing it to this forum and taking it forward and hoping it'll get endorsement by First Nations people in other communities.
Exactly. So it puts us at the table having a Yidinji conversation, and now it's in writing, and then we take it forward, and it's great to have First Nation people at the table, especially on the Big Island, Australia.
Yeah, well, we've got a really good video now made of the Cairns workshop.
Yes.
And we're hoping we can take that global. We'll need some help how we develop a global platform, but we can certainly sell the message a bit.
It's a team effort, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Dr. Jane, nice talking with you. Thank you so very much. Enjoy the rest of the forum and the beautiful Fiji Islands.
Thanks, Trevor. I will.
Take care. Too Deadly, beautiful yarn there with Dr. Jane Stanley here at the 6th Pacific Urban Forum in Pacific in Fiji Islands. Great to be here. And we had the conversation on Yidinji country in Cairns, April early this year. And now we've moved over here to Fiji. And it's a team effort and having conversations about the Pacific and the hot topic about the global climate. It is real. And all First Nation countries, all countries globally need to act on it. So very important. Look after Mother Earth. It's your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yana Strong, your mob, Too Deadly. Stay tuned. BBM 98.7 FM via NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Too Deadly.
Since I've been there, I remember remember all the time that we shared. I remember all the things I've seen, the places that I've been. But there's someone I know I can't forget.
Kimberly Green,
you stole my heart from me.
Kimberly Green,
can't stop thinking of me. Can't you see that our love is really true?
On your mob, it's me, Bush Taka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Rikari, coming here live from Fiji Islands. I'm here for the 6th Pacific Urban Forum, catching up with Deadly Mob here and talking about the life in regard to planet Earth and regarding human beings. Global climate is real. That's what this forum's all about. I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly Brother, who's the president of EROF. And that's Eastern Australia Organisation, Planning and Human Settlements. And the president is Deadly Brother, all the way from Australia. And that's Peter Cumming, and he's the president of EROF. Peter, my brother, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, my brother. It's good to be here. Yeah, I'm good. And hello, everybody out there on the country.
To Deadly Brother. Yeah. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, I'm from northern New South Wales, from around Yamba, on the beautiful Birimba, Clarence River, and Yeagle Mob. Down there, yeah. So
beautiful.
And beautiful country, like everywhere else.
Yes, beautiful country, like everywhere else, and good footprint. Yes,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. So you're
the
president of EROF.
Yes, Australia.
How long, Australia, how long have you been president?
Just for this year. I've been on the executive, though, since we first started up the Australian chapter in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an international group that is around the East Asian Pacific area. And we're actually just setting up a Pacific chapter here at the conference, so that
okay.
it represents people from the Pacific Islands as well.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Look, we are in the 21st century.
We are.
Global climate is real.
Yeah.
And if all countries, if not first world countries, don't act,
yeah.
We can see the sinking of our islands and,
yeah.
and human disaster.
Yeah, yeah, and our coastlines along the east coast of Australia.
Of Australia,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Torres Straits.
That's right, yeah. We're losing connection to that part of country. And but the thing is, you know, the culture's been through this before.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cultural knowledge.
Exactly.
There's a lot of stories and experience. And that's what we need to draw on now, you know, from our brothers and sisters and our elders. And is to
Well, to educate the non-Indigenous peoples as well
right.
as the governments of the world.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, so we come together, you know, we've got to walk together on, you know, on country with this. And it's going to mean some changes, like means we may not be able to have our children and our children's children on the country we're on now if we're on the coast. So where are we going to be?
Yes.
You know? And if we want to stay in connection with sea country and the land, land when we might be living nearby, we may be living some distance away, but we still have to have practices and looking after country. And but the thing is, we need to try and slow this down because it's human induced now.
Because exactly,
the Earth does this; it goes through the changes of climate. But
humans helping it.
We're helping it a lot in the last 200 years, the industrialization.
Yeah.
But we're part of it too because the things we consume.
Yeah, sure.
Are made by the industrialists.
True.
And then a lot of them end up in the water and the river as pollution in the air, and the air being polluted is what's creating heat on the planet. And Mother Earth, she's trying to deal with it. So she's putting heat down into the ocean to try and get cool the atmosphere. And when that happens, the oceans rise.
Sure.
And the ice caps melt and the ocean rises.
Exactly.
So this is, we're part of the problem. So we've got to be part of the solution.
Well, if you're not careful, Tari become Gold Coast.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah,
and true, so brother. We need to work together, brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Need to work together. Mm. Now, we even talk about global climate with the Torres Strait Islands.
Yeah.
I mean, they're streaming up for seawalls.
Yes.
As the ice are melting, sea is rising. Yes. If we're not too careful, we're going to lose our islands, lose our people.
So that's another thing to do is we can stay where we are if we can do, work that keeps us there. So maybe it's keeping the salt water out of our gardens. It's maybe keeping the ocean tides out of our settlement, but to do that we need to start planning that now, because if the tide's coming up each year a little bit higher, just a fraction, then we need to be ready for it. So and there's experience around the islands with that. People have built coral walls and things like that over many generations, so we need to look at some of the things that were done by our elders and our ancestors,
exactly. So here we are, the Sixth Pacific Urban Forum, South Pacific. Is there representation from the Australian government here, Peter?
That's a good question, Trevor. I don't think so directly, but it is through UN Habitat, the international organisation, and there are representatives here from Australian government that are working on programs in the Pacific.
Sure.
So, like, they're representatives that are now based here in the Pacific
area. Okay,
right. So, so that helps with that connection back to Australia.
Well, those representatives should be taking back the information to their head hierarchies to talk about the importance and the urgency of the matter.
That's right. Yeah. The really good thing about being here is there's 300 delegates and there's about 60 countries represented, and every country, every island nation here in the Pacific is here, which is really good.
Yeah, so, fantastic.
And there's a lot of connection between the whole Pacific and, the east coast of around Australia as well.
Of course. They're looking for life on planet Mars.
Yeah.
We need to look after this planet first, do we not, Peter?
We do. We don't know as much about the oceans of the world than we know more about the moon.
Yeah.
So, we need to get to know. And, again, it's in stories that are already...
Yeah, 60,000 years. Here we are, my brother.
Exactly.
We're professors, aren't we?
True. And it's about drawing on that knowledge now and bringing it forward, for everyone to listen to and then acting from that, But there's also information we don't have.
Sure.
Because, and science today, science is amazing, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's like an art,
In
its own art form. So getting data and information on, by going into the depths of the ocean and checking out our land systems and learning about how soils are made up and how we can repair them. So it's sort of like a combination of the old and the new, isn't it?
Sure, exactly.
A new way of doing things.
Exactly. So you're a First Nation man from New South Wales.
Well, I'm not a First Nation man, but I'm in the sense that I wasn't born there, but I'm sort of part of family.
Though. Okay, adopted in, you could say,
40
brother.
Years of being there and, working.
We claim you, brother.
Yeah. It's good the family's there and I work, inside, alongside.
Sure.
And have great respect. And I'm looking after country down there, doing repair work, like the last 30, 40 years of regenerating the land. And so, and I think that's what this is all about. It's not about skin colour.
No, sure, exactly.
It's about our
heart. But you're talking about looking after country, which is what you're doing.
Yeah.
How did you step into the next level up into this arena, brother?
Well, through my work as an urban regional planner,
and
working in participatory planning, working around a circle with people, listening, sharing stories, and then putting those stories and that understanding of the issues and the challenges into the plans for the area with local government, with state government,
and with First Nation people at the table,
and with First Nation people, in the circle around the table. So it's so important, and that voice is really important. So I want people to step up. The time's to step up now is to step up and take the place in the circle. We'll push a little bit, make a bit of room and to sit down and say, I need to be here to talk and share, And so that's really good because when you get people with a shared understanding, even if they come from different backgrounds, you end up with a really strong understanding of the issue. And then people come forward with ideas and solutions.
Yes.
And I've been finding over the last 30, 40 years, the best solutions the ones that have come from the people.
Sure.
And also,
for the people.
For the people. And also
for the country.
They're made up of diverse ideas. Like, yeah, they're not just from one side of the community, yeah, or one part of the community or one age group.
And we need to be open-minded to all, yeah, conversations, Peter.
Yeah. Well, young people have got, you know, a better, an interesting perspective on everything that's happening. Like, you look at social media and things like that. They know what's happening there. So, you know, bringing their voice in, and they are looking to the future about what's going to be like for them. Mm. We need to listen to them too, not just think it's going to be the way we knew,
sure,
years ago.
Yeah.
So looking back in the past is a way of not just reflecting but learning, mm, bring it forward in the future, not live, try and live the future, but trying to understand what it could be like and how we'd like to see it.
Mm.
And then being here now, like making sure that that is going to happen.
Sure.
And that's the way to resolve a lot of the issues we've got. So, yeah, yeah, we need a lot of sharing at the moment, a lot of listening. But people with quiet voices, it's the time to speak up.
Exactly, mm, exactly. We need to get it together, together.
You mean to get it together? You're right, my brother.
Yeah. Too deadly. Yeah. And when we look at up and coming, the NRL Grand Final, the AFL Grand Final,
yeah,
that's besides the point when we're looking at the destruction of planet Earth,
yeah,
and human existence.
You raise a really good point. Look how passionate, yeah, we are about, like,
exactly,
you know, I mean, I know why.
Yeah,
I mean,
and I love my football. No worries about
me
that.
Too. I'm, yeah, AFL, I'm just like, mm, mad, you know, like, but we need to think of that passion we bring to that. Why don't we bring that passion to Mother Earth?
Yeah. Yeah, good.
In fact, you know, maybe that's the thing we need to do, start thinking now about, is our passion for our music and our, yeah, culture and our dance, our passion for sport. Let's just shift a little bit of that into, mm, care for the earth.
Well, do you know they do, look, a powerful tool, vehicles for AFL and NRL, mm, and all our national, yeah, sporting, yeah, icons, you know, but they can use that platform to talk about saving Mother Earth, because they use it for cancer, which is so very important, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
Stop,
yeah,
domestic violence.
This is a really good idea. It's,
you know,
a really good idea.
Great idea. There's, yeah, my idea. Put,
no,
that,
I like,
the table.
I love,
brother,
it.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm,
yeah,
I'm there to support,
yeah,
you. I,
yeah,
think that's
Trevor Tim Murray from The Courage just, yeah, mentioned that.
Yeah. Keep it going. I think that's the thing, and this is why we're listening to everybody and talking today here.
Yes.
If people could think about the way they could introduce into their communities,
sure,
you know, this message about looking after Mother Earth, mm, and so we can then, you know, make sure that we've got a future together.
Mm.
And this one's a great, mm, one to get the message out. Yeah, so... Mm,
what happens after this forum here in Fiji, Six Pacific Urban Forum? What happens after this?
Well, this forum's got a couple of streams, Trevor. One, mm, is looking at how sustainable development can occur in the Pacific, because, you know, a lot of people are moving into urban areas, like, mm, in Australia, moving,
yep,
off the country,
yes,
and they don't really have a place to live, and, you know, they're living in temporary accommodations, or they're seasonal workers, so the towns are growing, so they've got to deal with that and all the infrastructure issues.
Sure.
The other one is climate change impacting here with the sea level rising and what's going to happen to sea country and to land in the future.
Mm.
The other one is the other stream of that is the reparation or giving back to the people,
yes,
who are impacted, like,
yes,
you know, First Nations people who are being impacted by climate change. So we've got this climate justice charter that we developed, mm, the Gidinji Declaration up,
yes,
in Cairns. Together,
yes,
we did that.
We
my
did
brother,
that.
Didn't we?
We,
yeah,
did, brother. Yes.
So that's here, and that's we're going to be working on that tomorrow, aren't we?
Good.
And the idea of taking that charter then onto the East Asian Pacific Forum, which is being held in Korea, and then taking it on to COP28, which is the big global meeting of all the heads of government,
mm,
looking at climate change, which is in, I think, December.
Sure.
And the idea is to have that climate justice charter adopted, because we'd like to see the Torres Strait Island, Australian and Pacific area as a case study about how that reparation meaning giving back.
Yeah, sure.
So, like, how can we help you with, mm, the impacts of climate change?
Sure.
Is it that you need to build seawalls?
Mm.
Is it you need to relocate? How are we going to look after sea country? Make sure that other people don't come and impact on our fishing grounds.
Peter, what I'm picking up is well done is better than well said. We need action.
We need action. That's right. There's time for talking is, mm, here in terms of in the circle.
Yes.
But the time then is to turn and go out into the world
and
have
act
action.
On it.
Act on it. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we're here for is to... And everybody knows that the action isn't been happening. People have been talking for 20, 30 years about this now.
Exactly.
And it's been very slow. So,
yeah,
the time is to, you know, get a move on.
Peter Cumming, my,
yeah,
brother. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Trevor, my brother.
Beautiful yarn with you. Fantastic, yeah, to be here with you.
Yeah,
we met there in Cairns at,
yeah,
the forum in Cairns, and here we are, Fiji.
Yeah.
Look, it's a great vehicle, it's a great tool. It's a deadly yarning circle, but we need action behind the yarning circle, don't we?
We need action, yeah. Action for now and the future.
Yeah, now and the future, exactly.
Yeah.
My brother, we'll talk soon. Enjoy the rest of the conference, and we'll yarn soon, my brother.
You.
Too deadly.
Mate. Bye.
Beautiful yarn there with Peter Cumming. He's the president of EROF, an Eastern Australian organisation for planning and human settlements. And fantastic to have him at the conference here representing. Met the brother in Cairns when we had the conference in Cairns. And now we take the conference here to Fiji. So it's so very important. But stay tuned to your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and live here from Fiji Islands for this fantastic forum, 6th Pacific Urban Forum, and the vehicle, the tool we're using in driving forward and looking after all the mobs. So thinking of my mob there in Torres Straits, we are talking for you at this conference and protecting the islands and protecting life as we know it, human beings as well as Mother Earth and country. So stay tuned, BBM 98.7 FM, National Talk Black, Too Deadly.
Try to keep an open mind, but it's floating in between the city lights. How can that be? Living on a rock my whole life, I can't stand dwelling on a thought like this. I need to show what I got to be better. Time will last forever. Well, I got something new.
I got something new.
You gotta keep pushing to get where you wanna be. Do what you gotta do. Be who you wanna be.
Show
what I got to be better.
Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah. G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm coming live from the beautiful islands of Fiji. I'm here for the 6th Pacific Urban Forum. I had a deadly yarn with Dr. Jane Stanley from Eruf, and look, so fantastic to catch up with another brother over here, brother from another mother, and that's deadly brother Victor Stephenson, who's from the Fire Sticks Indigenous Alliance, and he's here, keynote speaker at the forum. My brother, very good morning. How are you?
Bula Bula, how are you?
Bula Bula, you know Bula Bula, brother. Hey, too deadly my cuss. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who you mob, where you from.
Yeah, well, I'm Victor Stevenson. I'm Takalaga from the Gulf in Far North Queensland, and also co-founder of the Fire Sticks Indigenous Alliance, and I'm also the lead practitioner within the organisation that runs, you know, community mentorship programs, and yeah, with communities across 5 states, and also a little bit of work in Canada too.
Too deadly, brother. Too deadly. Big footprint. Fantastic. Look, congratulations on the work that you're doing, looking after country and helping mob to look after country, using fire as a tool. We blackfellas use all the tools that are available to look after country, and fire is one of them. You're here as a keynote speaker at the 6th Pacific Urban Forum. So just give us a background on what you will be delivering at the forum, my brother.
Yeah, tomorrow I'll be delivering the importance of traditional knowledge in general. So, yes, fire is a big part of that, but we're also through the mentorship program back home in Australia, where you know, we're doing stuff around harvesting as well, and there's a lot of benefits around education, also around social enterprise through you know, weeds and things like that, around healing landscapes, and yeah, and just helping communities to rebuild knowledge systems, so, you know, for resilience, social and environmental well-being, but, and also, you know, jamming that into, you know, mainstream solutions too, where Indigenous knowledge can be valued through mainstream solutions. And it's cool to be over here in the Pacific region to see how those, you know, philosophies and, you know, the way that we do things at home can also translate into other ways for other regions to use those same methodologies in their own countries that are, you know, that are relevant to them.
Well, exactly, brother. So when you're talking about looking after country, well, we're talking about Mother Earth, and the principles are the same no matter where you go on the earth. So can fire be used, like, say, on the Pacific Islands?
Oh, of course, fire can be used across the Pacific, and, you know, there are islands that have fire problems as well, but, you know, it's also about, you know, using fire to restore country and not so much around the wildfire problem. I think for many of the areas is using fire to bring back the diversity of plants, to bring back the diversity of plants and, you know, and animals and things like that, and to defeat the monocultures and weeds and the problems that, you know, that has back home for us, and also across, you know, other countries, you know.
Too deadly, brother. Fantastic. So it's important that you are here talking from a black perspective and using fire as a tool, speaking to our brothers and sisters across the Pacific Islands and how they can use that tool as well. Talk about some of the stuff that that creates industries in the work that you're doing, brother, please.
Yeah, so, you know, we're looking at, you know, like, fire is basically what it does is brings the health of our landscape back. And when we look at, you know, before colonization, you know, the landscape was a healthy landscape and the economy was based on healthy landscapes. And when you look at Indigenous economies, that's exactly how it is on a global scale too. It was all based on healthy landscapes, where that supported trade, it supported kinship systems, all those sort of things. And when we look at our current economies today, that's Western driven, it really is about, you know, an economy that's based on destruction and destroying environment and land. And so the Indigenous knowledge solutions go right across the board. Fire is just one of them. And how we can look at Indigenous knowledge paving the way for community leadership as well, and starting franchises and opportunities in healing landscapes, restoring identity, and also looking at problems, you know, like, you know, with the plastics and fossil fuels and stuff that can come from, you know, knowledge of plants. And we're working with Western science to help us with that. and to that's the next chapter for the mentorship program in some regions next year that we're kicking off.
So we're talking about TOs, traditional owners, operating on their country, creating, like I said, industries, creating job opportunities, career pathways, but also a financial vehicle for the mob.
That's right. If, you know, it's all about, you know, that autonomy and getting communities to be able to run their own regions and run their own programs and to lead those programs as well. And, you know, this is about doing this in a way that, you know, we link together, and that's why we have an alliance where we're supporting many communities and getting communities to mentor each other and to support each other. Because we really need to nail this for communities and communitize the future and not corporatize the future.
Yes, fantastic, beautiful description there, my brother. To you, Daily Mob, just tuned in, Trinity Trevor Murray from Macquarie, coming live from the beautiful islands of Fiji, here at Suva for the 6th Pacific Urban Forum. I'm MC for the conference, and also Yana here with Deadly Brother, Victor Stepherson, Fireman, Firestick Indigenous Organization, but he's a keynote speaker. Brother, I want to talk to you about your operations, and as a black man going to another man's country to deliver, you did mention at dinner last night, thank you for dinner last night, my brother, you Deadly, you shout out, I'll stick with you, cuss, but you talked about you only operate under invite. Tell us that.
That's
explain
right,
that,
yeah.
Please, brother.
Well, you know, all my life doing this work, I've only operated on invite.
Yes.
And so the communities need to start the process. They need to ask to come along, and if they're interested, then I'll come and support the community, you know. And the invite is really important for protocol.
Yes.
It's also important, that it's an important ingredient that once a community sends that invite, then you know you're halfway there, successful, because the community's willing.
Yes.
They want to help themselves. They want to put the hard work in, and, and that's where our mob need to go, you know. We
exactly.
can't sit around waiting.
Sure.
And we certainly can't... go and impose things onto communities.
No.
But, you know, we're stronger together.
Exactly.
And when communities make that first move, that's how it should be.
Sure.
And that's why the work has been so successful and why the network continues to grow.
True, Deadly Brother. So paint that picture. So when you invite, you there start the operation and the education, so to speak. You're a student as well, educating, learning about the mob and their country,
right.
you
yeah.
know, two-way street. But then you hand the reins over and walk away. The TOs take control.
That's right. They hand the reins over, you know. And when it comes to, like now I'm already like handing the reins over, there's programs happening right
Good.
Now. And there's coordinators that, you know, we've trained over the years.
Yes.
And it does take years to train them.
Sure.
Because they've learned all the trees and country and, you know, and understand that being a practitioner on country is, you know, there's a lot to learn when it comes to Indigenous knowledge on landscapes. And
of course.
So the way that we do our employment, we employ people from their own country as actual coordinators to help build their own programs in their regions and employ their own people themselves. And, you know, and that's a way of creating those hubs and getting those communities autonomous and be able to walk away from them. And I'm really proud of, like, the Bunyan Mountain Rangers, and now that they're doing work and they're mentoring other communities. And, you know, there's other communities that I've and individuals that I've mentored in the past, and now they're running programs in their own regions. And, you know, it's just that, you know, that flow-on effect.
Exactly.
And, you know, this is what it's all about, you know, like...
Empowering,
and plus Australia is a big place.
It's a big island, a big footprint, bro.
Big place, and not one mob going to do it on their own. Not
exactly.
one individual, not one organisation can do it on their own. You know, it really is about working together.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's also about getting those non-Indigenous organisations, you know, not competing with each other, and also putting their shoulder behind the communities and doing it in a way that the communities are connected and created that umbrella, working with each other and supporting
yes.
each other, so that we get a stable knowledge system and save across the country for our next generations, and we also you know, secure the opportunities for communities to lead.
To Deadly Brother, we're talking about dealing with our First Nation mob, our traditional owners, our Deadly Brothers and Sisters. What's your engagement to and the response from our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters? I'm talking the Fireys, I'm talking government. Where do they sit in the space of fire as the tool?
Well, when we look at the non-Indigenous communities of Australia across all sectors, you know, like when we look at private landholders, for example, they're like really on board, and there's a lot of them on board, and just your general people are on board in the mainstream to see Indigenous land management go across the country. We have an increasing number of partners, non-Indigenous partners from different sectors that are continuously getting involved in this, and that's really great, and we encourage them to do that so that they're putting the shoulders behind something that's working and not trying to take bits and pieces and run their own versions of it. Yeah. So trying to educate the non-Indigenous partners, you know that you don't run off taking in knowledge, and it's not your business to run Indigenous projects, but it's certainly your place to get involved and support it and put your shoulder behind it, and because this benefits everyone.
It does.
And when we look at, fire, the government and government agencies, I guess they're the hardest ones.
Sure.
I mean, like national parks and rural fire services, you know, it's a very, very slow transition. You know, you do get good responses from people on the ground that work in those organisations, that are working on the ground, but, you know, the leadership, the government and the leadership of these organisations on the top, you know, on the top end, they're a hard nut to crack. And we still haven't cracked through that, and they're still not fully supportive. We're not seeing Indigenous leadership within solutions in our country still yet. They talked about it in the Royal Commission after those last wildfires, but done nothing about it. And here they are now still putting steroids on the wrong way of managing the land and panicking now that we're getting into summer again this year. And, you know, it's...
So they're closed-minded in regard to this space and poaching,
I think,
First Nation people and how to use fire?
I think, you know, the governments and all those things, you know, like, they, you know, it's a... They just want to control everything, you know?
Yeah, gotcha.
And just getting them to listen, to know that, you know, like, let Indigenous people lead for once.
Sure.
And, you know, and...
Well, we are the professors. Been around for 60,000 years.
Well, you know...
We know something, bro.
Yeah, well, you know, when you go for a job, they, you know, and you go for an interview for a job, they pick the person who's most experienced to do that job.
There you go.
But when it comes to managing our country and our land and our environment...
The most experienced.
The most experienced people are left out. And they put people in there that don't know country, sure, don't know what they're doing. And as a result, a lot of Western land management is, you know, contributes to a lot of devastation to our land as well.
Yeah. So do you find non-Indigenous people, whether it be government, from universities, would steal their information and act on it and claim it?
Well, they have in the past already, you know.
Yeah.
Like, they've always been doing that. And,
sure.
You know, I've seen over the years doing this work, you know, like on fire and sharing knowledge around fire and workshops, I've seen non-Indigenous people come in, write it all down, and I've seen them run off and do ecological burning, burning, you know, around that way, and I've seen ecological burning born in this country.
Yes.
And it's insulting, and because they separate knowledge and they separate bits of our knowledge to say, well, this is ecological burning, has nothing to do with Aboriginal burning. Meanwhile, Aboriginal burning is the ultimate ecological burning.
Exactly.
And it's also the hazard reduction too. It keeps our country safe. And so it's that separation that they continue to do, and that's that divide and conquer, even within our knowledge systems. And even still today with opportunity. And
21st century, still today.
They still do it. And, you know, but I'm really happy to say that a lot of organisations and non-Indigenous organisations are good as well, and they're starting to see that. And they're getting involved, and they're understanding that over all the years they've been trying to run programs, they haven't hit the results. And they see the work that we're doing and communities are doing, and seeing that we are hitting results. And some of them are starting to say, well,
come back to the table, have a yarn with you.
Yeah, let's get behind us and work together, and we're stronger together.
Yeah, deadly brother. And when they come back to you, you sit around, start a little fire, and have a yarning circle.
That's it. Everything done on country.
There you go, on country.
Everything done on country.
Too deadly.
Yeah.
Victor, Stefan, good to catch up with you, my brother. Fantastic. Love the work that you're doing. Great to see you here at in Fiji Islands at Suva for the Sixth Pacific Urban Forum. Great to hear that you're one of the keynote speakers and leading from the front, my brother. Enjoying the journey. And I got you for lunch this afternoon, brother.
No worries, brother. Vinaka
Tatingu. Vinaka. Yeah, that's it.
Vinaka Tatingu.
Bula Bula. Dear Delhi, brother. We'll talk soon, brother. Take care, Cass. to Delhi. Beautiful yarn there with Victor Stepherson. He's the co-founder of Firesticks Indigenous Alliance organization, and using fire as a tool and traveling this country, traveling this globe in regard to educating people about fire and how it's a powerful tool looking after country by people living on country. We're talking traditional owners, too deadly to see. But stay tuned, you might be deadly program, National Talk Black with Trendy Trev Murray from Recurry. Great to be yarning with you, Mob. Stay tuned, BBM 98.7 FM.